Okay, let's start with this session about ABX, source code analysis. My name is Jim Kerek. I'm working for Riverside Software in France. So for those who don't know me, you will have to deal with my French accent. This is something I repeat every year for every session. So if you have any question, please speak loudly and if you don't understand something, let me know and I will rephrase that. So I'm working, I started Riverside Software 7 or 8 years ago. We are working mainly with continuous integration. So we are working on a Java and OpenEdge project and doing continuous integration, helping customers implement continuous integration, which is automating the build, automating deployment, and make sure you are able to catch any defect at every stage, and so that you don't provide buggy software to your customers or to your end users. So one of the points which is still missing in this continuous integration part is to be able to analyze the source code and provide a user interface to report defects being detected. So this session will be on how to use an open source product, SonarQube, to have a decent user interface to have a look at those defects. So what is SonarQube? SonarQube is a platform to manage code quality. It's a free open source, the license is a lesser GPL, web-based portal. There is a company who is developing this product. It's a Switzerland-based company. And they provide this product for free. And also, there are also commercial plugins for this product. So, one of the first points of SonarQube was to integrate well-known tools from the Java world. So to do static analysis, be able to have a look at your source code and say, okay, there is something bad in the way you wrote the source code, and report that. Basically, at the beginning, it was in XML file. The point of SonarQube was to aggregate every result into a single database and in a single user interface. So static analysis, products. If you are working with Java, you probably already know PND, findbugs, checkside. Code duplication, so make sure that people don't write, don't do copy-paste across a product and be able to detect what has been copy-pasted. Because the main problem is if you fix a bug in one location, you forgot to update the other location. So you want to detect what has been copy-pasted and create input files? Don't think so. Probably more dynamic functions and procedures. Code coverage is a way to execute your application and know exactly which lines of code have been executed. So you want to know when you test your software if you are testing it correctly. If you go through every pass in the decision tree, so the if statements, case, switch, and so on, and then if you are correctly testing your application, or if you are just executing the first two statements of a given procedure instead of going through the entire procedure. So code coverage is a way to know that your unit tests are correctly written on a really testing your application and not just a very limited part of your application. SonarQube is an extensible platform. So they provide many entry points to manage new languages. At the beginning, the SonarQube platform was written only for Java, but SonarQube, the company, SonarSource, the company behind the project, also provide both open and closed source project plugins for SonarQube to be able to analyze C sharp, to analyze COBOL, to analyze Python, to analyze Ruby, and many other languages. So some plugins are open source, some others are closed source. There are also many plugins for visualization, so the way you display the information which is stored in the SonarQube database. And the last point where there are plugins is the rules you want to execute on your source code to report violations and metrics to be displayed on the user interface. So SonarQube is a portal. So it provides a way to display the content of the database. So in this UI, you can display as many projects as you want. So this is a demonstration portal for SonarQube, which is analyzing, I think, something like 1,000 open source projects, mainly written in Java. So when you have a set of projects with coming from different forges, so open source repository here, and you have an easy way here to view issues which are sorted by severity here. So you can have blocker issues, critical, major, minor, and info. So this is just a way to display the content of the SonarQube database. So you can enter projects and get some metrics only for a single project. So on this one, you first have some basic metrics. So you know the number of lines of code, not the most useful metric, but it just gives you an idea of how large a project is. And this is something management want to see, not something developers want to know. Okay. The list of files, directory, classes, and here a number of issues which has been reported by the analyzer which have run before. So just display the content of the database. Here we do have, for example, unit test coverage. So when the project was being built and tested, some metrics were created, and the SonarQube analyzer will push that into the database, and it will generate some metrics. So here we know we have a percentage of the part of code which has been executed during your unit test compared to the total amount of source code in your application. Different views. So there is a way to, some issues can be reported as portability defects, for example. Let's say that in OpenEdge, when you execute OS command, for example, this is something which is not portable across operating systems. So it may be an issue saying that you don't handle the case where the application will be executed on Windows or will be executed on Unix. So if you have a single OS command statement, it will be probably be a defect to have that. You have to handle two different conditions. So there are here different types of issues which can be reported. Just back here. Here we do have this technical debt. So technical debt was coined by Ward Cunningham in 92. So it's a metaphor about the time it takes to work with low quality code. So basically, if you have a high technical debt, every time you will have to implement new features in your code, it will take longer time. And this is the same as paying interest to this technical debt. If you don't fix the code, it will take longer and longer and longer. If you write quick and dirty code, you will add capital to the technical debt, and the future enhancements will be even longer and longer. And otherwise, you can fix the code. And you can, therefore, you will pay on the principal and reduce the time it takes to implement new features in the future. And another point is, do your manager care about code quality? They don't care. This is something developers can see. And when they have to develop something, they say, OK, this code is crappy. I don't want to work with it. Manager, they don't care. Just say, implement that. But if you can prove them that they have to pay something because it's a cost, to every time you implement a new feature, you say it will take twice as much time if the code is of bad quality compared to a good quality code. So this is something to put to managers. And in this here, it was the number of days, 54 days to fix every issue for in your code base. You can even put a number in front of the cost per day here, so that it will be a number of dollars or euros or whatever your currency here. And this is what your manager would have to pay during the lifetime of your project. So just let them know they have to pay the bill. So back in the project, so we first had the dashboard for every project. We went there to a specific one, and then we can even drill down into the code and have a look at what is reported for a single source file, for every single source file, that this issue has been reported at this line number. And you can also have hotspots where the most violated files, for example, and know exactly where is the problem in your application, or at least what is reported from the sensors being executed on your code base. So in this case, this is for Java code. I think the screenshot is a bit small, sorry for the people at the back of the room. So here at this line number, there is a catch swivelable. This is not something we should do in Java. This is far too generic to catch, and we catch wrong exceptions. So what about ABM? Who is working with ProPass and ProLint? Quite a few? Okay. So my company has written a free open source as a LGPL license plugin for SonarQube. So the plugin and the source code can be downloaded from a Bitbucket repository here. So there are two different plugins, one to analyze the source code and the second one to analyze database dump files. Those plugins include parser. I will have a few words about parser in the next slide. Rule management and a way to report issues into another SonarQube database. Some sample rules are available. So what is provided in this plugin is a core engine to report issues. They are just sample rules. So at this stage, the output, what you will get from this plugin will be quite limited. But additional rules will be, you will be able to buy additional rules from Riverstyle, from my company, but if you want to implement them by yourself, you have everything you need to do that. So you will have to do that using Java code. We will have a quick look at how to do that. And so it's free here, but just the engine at this time. So it's quite new. People who attended my presentation last year about the same subject, this is the first time I release this plugin, so it's released today. There was no version before except for specific customer, carefully chosen customers. So get there, download it, and try to execute it on your code base. So a few words about Lexer and Parser, how it works. So a Lexer is a way to generate token from your source code. You never want to work directly with strings. You want to work with tokens. So here we do have a very small source code, define variable foo as integer, define property bar as character. So, we define a keyword token which can be either define variable property as character integer. We define white space token, which can be either a space, a tab character, or a new line character. And white spaces with a star, they can be detected, we can detect as many as we want. And that will go to a hidden channel, because we don't care about white spaces, we don't care about new lines, tabs, and so on. ID, a very simple ID representation, which is just alpha characters, and end of statement. So this is a very simple Lexer definition. I will let you imagine the size of the Lexer for OpenEdge language, especially given the number of keywords present, but this is already included in the OpenEdge plugin. So when we execute the Lexer on this code, we will find a keyword token defined, a keyword variable, a token ID with ID name, which is foof, and so on. We continue this way. White spaces are going to the hidden channel. We don't care about them. It won't be present in the Lexer screen. So, good. At this stage, from a source code, we have a set of tokens. From then, we want to generate a syntax tree, what is called an abstract syntax tree. So instead of just having a set of tokens, we will have a representation of statements. So we define rules for the parser. So we will define a define variable rule, and it will always be the same. It will be first I need a keyword defined, then a keyword variable followed by an ID, keyword as a data type, no undo with a question mark, it's optional, and keyword label followed by a quoted string, which is also optional. So the job of the parser will be to read your set of tokens, and if it finds a match, it will generate a defined variable node to your syntax tree. So defined property, we have another syntax for that. I will let you read that. And from the code we had in the previous slide, we can generate this syntax tree which is we always have a root node, which is the starting point of your program, followed by a set of nodes representing your code. So the first one is a defined variable node. We do have the variable name, data type. We know that node do was not present, so the attribute is set to false. No label, and then we do have a property also with name, data type, and so on. So instead of working with huge pieces of source code working directly at the .b or .cls level, we can work with a syntax tree and visit some specific nodes to detect some bad patterns and report that into the SonarQube database. So this part is also included in the plugin. So here we had only two statements, so pretty basic. If we have a just a little bigger source code, we already have several nodes. So here, define variable, define a property, a new method with a statement which is a find, followed by a do block, do while true, execute something, if, and a statement. Then a second method and a constructor. And this is, in this code, it's 10 lines of .d. So I will let you imagine the size of the syntax tree, which will be generated from the parser. And something you would have to do by yourself if you really wanted to analyze the source code. So the job of the parser is take your source code, generate a big syntax tree from there. No, we won't pass only source code. The plugin also provides Lexer and parser for profiler outputs. So we do have data structures for execution time and code coverage. So when you execute your application using the profiler attribute set to true, you get a huge text file in a specific format. So the profiler parser will be able to generate data structures, will be able to reuse, and this is also used to do some code coverage. Because the profiler includes the line numbers being executed during an OpenEdge session, and we will be able to report that back to the OpenEdge database, and then calculate metrics for what has been executed, what has not been executed. Also a parser for DF file, so that you have a representation of your database schema, and you're able to easily detect bad patterns, something you don't want to have in your database. For example, you have naming conventions for field names. You can extremely easily say, I want to visit the table, create table definition nodes, and retrieve the table name and say it has to match this pattern. It doesn't, I report a violation. Also, on cross references, so it works with plain text cross references and XML cross references. Do you want to test it? It's extremely simple. You download SonarQube 4.2 or 4.3. Don't try to use any previous version because the plugin is targeted at version 4. So from dist.codehouse.org/sonar, you extract it in any directory. Then you download the two OpenEdge plugins from the Bitbucket repository. You drop that in extension plugin, and you execute start sonar.sh or .bat if you're unlucky enough to run Windows. This is for test or demonstration purpose. This Sonar instance will use an H2 database, which is a kind of in-memory database, so that doesn't scale. If you want to do a real installation of Sonar, you will have to use either MySQL, SQL Server, or Oracle. And I'm sorry, there won't be any OpenEdge database back there. Never, ever. I won't work on that, and SonarQube already said they will absolutely never do that. It was already a mistake to have three different databases, and say, we don't want to have one more. How to analyze code? It will require build output from PCT. Yeah. Who is using PCT? Oh, not so many people. Too bad. If you don't use it, you should immediately go to code.google.com/p/PCT and create a build system to PCT. So PCT is an open source plugin from my company to automate builds. So you can write XML files describing what you want to achieve during your build. It is based on Ant, which is a de facto standard for Java projects, which is quite replaced by Maven these days, but PCT Ant is still extremely widely used, especially in enterprise software. So PCT Ant provides many targets to be executed. If you want to copy files to a specific directory, generate dynamically files, if you want to compile something, if you want to FTP some file to another location or SCP, it provides an abstraction layer. It is cross-platform. You will be able to execute exactly the same code on Windows, Linux, Unix, whatever, and then it provides a lot of tasks to which are done in every build system. So your software is not different from any other. You have to do the same thing as everybody. PCT adds a layer on top of Ant to be able to create new databases from directly from DF file in a single command line, to compile code, your OpenEdge procedures against specific databases using multiple options, using multi-threaded compilation. For example, if you want to speed up the compilation process, there is a way to start multiple threads which will run in parallel on your build server. It can create procedure libraries, you can generate proxy run output, and so on. There are multiple options. The project is out in the wild since 10 years or something like that, so it's stable. Yes, last year was the 10th birthday of PCT. So it's used. Try it, it's free, it's open source. Try it, you won't regret it. And it's perfect in combination with a continuous integration server. So continuous integration server is a way to, every time you commit new source code in your application, you commit new code in your repository, the continuous integration server will detect changes and say, I will trigger a compilation. I want to verify that what you committed in your repository is correct, that you didn't forget anything. And PCT is really suitable in this case because you want, you will do that in a backend server. It will be entirely controlled by Bash. So you have to, there shouldn't be any human interaction in this process. And the Sonar analysis can also be triggered just after having built the product. You will then detect defects in what has been committed in your code repository. Don't forget to use a few options in PCT compile. PCT compiler is the task to to compile .b, .w, .cls into R code. In order to have correct analysis, you will have to use debug listing equals true for us, so that in the build output, you will get a debug listing. So this is just compiled debug listing something for every source code. Listing equals true, keep xref. The default behavior of PCT is to remove cross references from the build output because it's usually not needed anymore, but the SonarQube plugin requires cross references to be present in disk. You will have to use XML xref. At this stage, and I think it won't change in the future, the plugin only reads, only reports in the database cross references in XML format. This is only available since PCT 1.86. If you are using a previous version, please upgrade to the latest one. And relative path equals false in case you're using it. It's an internal issue when it won't work correctly. So after having compiled your source code, you will just add another end target. So this is what is required by Sonar to execute the source code. You will have to define a project key, so just an identifier in the Sonar database, a project name, which will appear on the web UI, a version number, where are the sources, so here schema, but it can be SRC or sources or whatever directory it is, and where is the R code located, so the build output from PCT. And Sonar, column Sonar. And Sonar will trigger itself. It will take care of connecting a local database. If your Sonar instance is on a remote server, you will just have to add where is the HTTP location of the Sonar instance, and where is the database storing everything. Because analysis will be triggered locally on your computer, but will report issues and violations and source code into a remote database. So you just have to provide the location of this database. If you want to test it, and so you start Sonar on your local machine and execute this analysis on your local machine, you don't have to provide those two lines. Sonar will take the default values and connect to HTTP localhost 9000. So what can you expect in this version? So please be aware that this is the first release which is publicly available. So output is still quite limited. What you will get is source code will be imported in the database so that you can go to the web UI and display source code and have violation in front of your source code. Debug listing will also be imported. You will get some basic metrics for source code, number of files in Windows include classes, the number of real lines of code compared to what is a comment and what is into blank lines. You will get transaction scopes, which are imported from listing files. Code duplication. So this is done after having tokenized the source code. An algorithm will detect code duplication. One of the points, some companies try to implement code duplication directly on the source code. But for example, it doesn't detect if you have a def var something as char and defined variable send name as character, it won't detect a duplication. And working with a tokenized source, you know that whether it's def or define or defi or whatever the number of letters you put in a keyword, it will be the same keyword. So it will detect duplicates in even on this kind of source code. So also cross-references, basic metrics, and entry points to report issues and metrics. Also dump files, abstract syntax tree, and basic rules to report violation onto the Sonar database. What's coming soon? Dependencies between procedures and classes. In order to be able to get a tangled index, one of the bad practices, for example, in object-oriented code, is to have package A depend on package B, so call method from from A to B, and do the opposite, also call depend on A from B. So if you have circular references between your packages, it's a bad practice. So dependencies between procedure and classes, the sensor detects how input files are being used and how classes are being used between packages. Analysis is already done, so it's coming soon because only the display part on the SonarQube interface has to be implemented. Analysis is already done and working. ABL abstract syntax tree. So this is a big point. I'm still working with progress to use the ABL parser included in Developer Studio. So we are hopefully close to an agreement. I won't give any date anymore because I was a bit surprised by the time it takes to have an agreement. But at this stage, it should be available really soon. And by the way, if it doesn't work, there is still the possibility to work with the ProPass parser and use the output generated by ProPass to be used in the SonarQube plugin. Code coverage, syntax tree is present, code coverage algorithm are ready, it's just a display part which is still missing in this version of the plugin. So this will come extremely soon. It's just a matter of displaying the metrics in the UI. So coming later, Prolint output management. People already using ProPass and Prolint generate either HTML or plain text files or XML outputs. It will be possible to report back those metrics directly in the SonarQube database. Progress Developer Studio integration. A working prototype is ready. I don't want to release it as of today. It's not mature enough. There are still some bugs. But directly from Developer Studio, you can see what is available on the remote SonarQube database. So every time you open a new file, a connection request is made to the SonarQube database to know, are there any defects in this source code? Yes, if there are, I just display a small icon next to the line number. So directly from Developer Studio, you already know if you have metric defects detected, you can fix them during your improvements. And as you type, not directly as you type, but when you save your local file, you can execute again the sensors to test your local source code before committing to the source code repository. So a good enough integration, which will be available soon. A few questions. It's an open source plugin. So I would like to gather some ideas for what are you expecting from code analysis, Are there some specific points you would like to see implemented? Do we have specific requirements and so on? So if you have any idea, please raise your hand. And if you have no idea yet, I'm leaving on Wednesday, so we still have plenty of time to discuss about that. Yes?
Is there any plans to make a Sonar Cube plugin for Eclipse?
It's already available. By the way, Sonar Cube provides a plugin for Eclipse. You can download it from sonarsource.com. It's a really standard plugin. And what is available for Developer Studio is a layer on top of this plugin. No? Okay, let's continue. Before going to write your own rules, I would like to do a very short demonstration of what you can see from the OpenEdge plugin, from the standard SonarCube instance, and from the OpenEdge plugin. That would be better. Is it okay? Yeah. This is the landing page for the demo instance of SonarCube. So this is what has been what you have seen in the first slides of the presentation. So here we do have a list of projects, forges, huge number of issues because there are so many projects being analyzed. A technical debt of 26,000 days, so it will take a lot of time to fix, and it will cost a lot of money. So, languages. This is a different languages which can be analyzed by Sonar by default. So Java, JavaScript, or yes, we are going to Node.js, so you will need to debug your JavaScript code. C#, Python, PHP, Web, Ruby, PL, COBOL, ABAP, those are the commercial plugins from SonarSource and where they are earning a lot of money because COBOL is mostly for banks and this is where you can earn money. RPG, Flex, and so on. So lots and lots of languages, and SonarSource made it easy to implement new plugins for new languages and new visualization plugins. So if we, let's take a specific project, CXF, for example, this is what is being used by Progress for the REST adapter. So almost 300,000 lines of code. We do have some arrows saying that the number of lines of code is growing or remaining stable or decreasing. Number of files, we do have issues. And the Sonar database keeps history of what is happening on the project. So you will keep metrics from 2 years ago, 1 year ago, 6 months ago, and know that oh yes, we introduced something bad because the number of issues starting from this date, it started to grow a lot. Something bad happened. We merged something new and introduced a lot of defects. Unit test coverage doesn't seem to be tested as CXF. What is documented, not documented, if your public APIs are documented or not, comments in your lines of code, code duplication. We do have here, for example, complexity. This is also something which will be added quite soon, I would say, for OpenEdge code. Basically, it computes the number of statements and the number of different options you have in your code base and find a complexity out of that. And this complexity is a measure on how hard it will be to enter, for a new developer to enter the source code and be able to read it, modify it, how long it will take. Package tangle index, so dependencies between packages. Let's have a look. For example, you have packages relying on lots of packages. Okay, so you have numbers in front of packages, and you know that this package depends on the other one, and so on for every package. Here, we can drill down into the issues. So, sorted by severity, let's go to the blocker ones. Swallowable and error classes should not be caught. We just select this type of issue. We do have the list of packages in terms of objects. Here. Okay. I should have the source code. Yes, too wide. So if I click here on the source code, it displays what has been stored in the database when the analysis occurred. And here you have who committed the source code, because it's able to do a link to your source code repository, so you know who committed the source code. You have the line number, the date when the code was committed, and what has been caught as an issue. So you can immediately go to Sergey's office, knock at the door and say, okay, there's a defect. You can display. Let's have a look at code coverage. Oh, no, there was no code coverage for this project. We can use another one for... which one was it? I guess... Let's go to the line coverage. Let's display full source. So here the engine is able to detect what should be executed and what has been executed and what has not been executed. So it will display in red what has not been executed and in green what has been executed. I think there is nothing here. Let's display one. Okay, it wasn't this project. Okay, I won't search for a long time. Here we do have 0 out of 4. This is what is called branch coverage, which is if you have an if statement, you want to know if every case in your if statement has been executed, or if when you execute your code, only the first case has been executed. So you never entered the different cases of your if statement. This is something which is available in Java. I'm sorry, this is not available in OpenEdge right now, but I've seen the OpenEdge roadmap this morning, and they seem to say that some improvements will be done. So that may be good news, especially in progress where we usually see monstrous if statements with 100 or more cases. So this is, oh yes, this is
where we can see line coverage. So George. Okay, so it's crazy. Here we do have line numbers being executed in green. I'm sure, yes, we will find some code. So this is the source code of PCT. Thank you, come back. So no XWAF, this is an attribute which is not tested in PCT. And so if you're using it and there is a bug, it's okay because I don't have any test case for this attribute. And here, 3 out of 4, I don't test anything. I'm sorry, but it's not a bad matrix. 63% being tested, it's not bad. And then let's go back to an OpenEdge plugin. This is also on public source code, so this is a source code of PCT. So it's not really meaningful because the OpenEdge code of PCT is not something you would execute in a business application. But I don't have too many enterprise source code I could display on a public website. Code duplication, for example. Here, it's a bad practice for me. PCT compiled, PCT is available and only is compiled for version 9, 10, 1064 bits, version 11, and so on, and with some small differences between each version. So it's just a big copy-paste between the different versions. So this is why here I have 94% of code duplication. Really bad practice. So it's able to see that most timetable definitions are exactly the same in PCT compiled and PCT compiled in version 11. So this one by version 10, here version 11. So it detects source code after being tokenized. It doesn't care about comments, for example. If you have comments intermediate in your source code, no problem, it doesn't care. It won't take care of analyze suspend, analyze resume if you are working with App Builder code. So there are some tricks to have a good report of code duplication. Go back to the dashboard. So a number of lines of code, files, directory, some basic matrix, some source code. If we go to the file list, we can see some classes from consulting work. So let's take a class. Probably a huge one. I hope I didn't lose. No. Okay, so source code, we do have syntax highlighting. So the source code is always uploaded to the SonarQube database. You can prevent source code upload, especially if you are working with shared and public instances of SonarQube and you don't want anything of your source code to be available somewhere. You don't have any control over it. But you will get a better, much better display if you have the source code. So some tabs are available. So we can see code duplication. Transaction scopes, yes, no transaction blocks, so it will highlight transaction blocks being detected on a given product. Debug listing, so this is the output of PCT here. Here, if we go back to the source, Here we do have an input file, the at line 32. If we go to the debug listing, starting from line 32, the code is being expanded. And by the way, it is important to have the debug listing source code, especially because some metrics which could be retrieved from cross references, for example, have source code inside different files. And the line number, you have to make them match the line number of the source code. So it's important to have the debug listing available. Issues, so no issue in your source code, but by the way, there are only two issue types available in this public version. So pull index, so this is done by analyzing a very simple analysis of cross references, and which is reported in find first. No index, so this is reported as a violation. Something which is also available, sometimes you want to have a table scan on your application. So you will be able to add comments, specific comments, which are no sonar comment, in order to prevent a violation to be reported. Otherwise, you may get many false positives, so you can do that directly from the code, or you can here change log okay. I guess we have to come from here. Okay, something is not configured correctly here, but also from the user interface, you can report false positives and so on directly, and this will be reminded in the user interface. So, as far as I see, I'm running out of time, so just a few words about writing your own rules. You will have some entry points in the plugin to report violations into the Sonar database. You will have to use Java at this stage to implement your own rules. It may be a problem for some companies, but remind that implementation time is nothing compared to design time, because you will have a huge abstract syntax tree here, and you will have to find exactly which nodes you want to visit to detect a bad pattern, and knowing exactly which case have to be handled is really longer than implementing them. Implementation is just a matter of creating a visitor pattern. So this is for XREF. I will go to a lint rule. So here you have you want to visit variable declaration statements. So every time there is a defined variable something, you will visit this rule. So it's a method to be implemented, and you will access every attribute available for a defined variable. So in this case, there is an object for that with the get name, so you will know that what is a variable name in the source code, and in this case we will analyze the length of the variable name, and if it's below threshold of characters or number of characters, it will report an issue. So if you want to have variable names always longer than three characters, you want to avoid defined variable A, B, C, D, and so on, you can do that. So only a few things to be achieved. annotation rule, annotation belongs to profile, and you can use rule properties so that people will be able to define directly in the web UI, say, I want to use this threshold, and another customer will use a different threshold. So this can be configured separately directly from your instance. Developer Studio, I explained it earlier. And then we come to an end of this presentation just in time, I think. Any questions? Yes?
You mentioned the remote databases for the Sonar data. Sonar run those, or do you, are there other entities, other companies you go to for hosting that?
So the question is, are there companies doing SonarQube hosting, your remote hosting? So some companies provide SonarQube as a service. I can mention CloudBees, which is a company behind Jenkins Continuous Integration Server and so on. So they provide a way, SonarQube web interface, and from your dev environment, you can connect their database, so you push data in the cloud. You don't know exactly where you put your data, and that will be displayed from the CloudBees SonarQube interface. So there are three or four companies doing that. There are some plans. By the way, the OpenEdge plugin has to be pushed, has to be available from the remote hosting company. So there are some plans to provide the OpenEdge plugin for some companies so that it would be possible to do a remote OpenEdge analysis in the future. Yes?
What's the source for the unit test coverage data?
What is
the source for the unit test coverage? Where does it come from?
So the question is, what is the source for unit test code coverage? The source is profiler output. So every time you execute your unit test, and especially if you do that with PCT, there are some tasks to execute OE unit, to execute Pro unit, ABL unit, and so on. You just add a profiler node to the end task, and it will generate profiler output in any directory. So this file will be analyzed by the SonarQube sensor, and metrics be sent to the Sonar database. So profiler output. Thanks a lot for your time.